A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant George here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Houston Astros are old, bad, not good, stinky. Justin Verlander, very bad.
And that's the show for today, folks.
Goodbye.
We're out.
Say peace. What a game last night. Justin Verlander just was not, he was not good. And the bats were awful once again.
Well, hey, Kyle Tucker did hit the home run in the first inning. And I'm not going to lie, Joe, I thought to myself.
The vibes are good.
Okay, finally, for a change, the Astros strike first. And then immediately afterwards, it's a three-run first inning allowed by a starter as Justin Verlander allowed the most runs he ever allowed with the Houston Astros. Yeah.
And then they waved the white flag. That's what the kind of game yesterday was.
They waved the white flag? Interesting. Well, when did that happen?
Because Amaya came in?
Oh, gotcha. Joe, I did not watch this whole game. What time did you tune out? And I am curious to everybody listening, what time did you tune out of last night's Astros game? Because they've given us no reason offensively to believe in them to rally from down 5 runs. For me, it was when they were down 6-1.
Yeah, that's also when I checked out.
You checked out.
Okay. I left after the fourth inning. I had it on my phone. You know, I had the Xfinity app going. It was there. Did I look at it much? No. I turned it totally off after the fifth. So I made it another 6 outs after I took it off the big TV.
It's depressing, man. I have a confession to make to both of you and to everybody listening right now.
Okay.
Because...
Are you going to start singing for me?
There's nothing to sing about.
These are my confessions?
No. Joe, there's no joy in my heart. But the confession that I need to make to you, to Sean behind the glass, has to do with my battle with addiction.
Oh, no.
Now, for those who don't know, last week, during the week, I said that I was giving up some things. I was giving up Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I was giving up TikTok. I was giving up video games. And most importantly, I was giving up binge-watching television shows. And the Astros are driving me back to all of these things. This is the big problem right now, is that I can't control myself. When they're playing this poorly, Joe, Instagram's beckoning. Maybe one of the girls that you slid into the DMs of is going to respond to you today.
Mm.
I went back, no. Maybe on the TikTok, you'll actually see something that's entertaining, but will, you know, help you learn things about the world. Saw a bunch of dumb things from video games that I'm addicted to. Right when that happened, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to play a video game tonight.
What'd you play?
I played a little bit of Fallout 4. And then, even worse, Joe, I went back to binge watching television. The Astros are enabling my addict tendencies, and it would be nice if they could respect me in this time of need.
Mm.
Instead, they are just driving me straight back to that remote.
What are you binging? What'd you
Not
start?
Not even things that are good,
I know you
Joe.
Finished Entourage.
Joe, Sean, things I've already seen.
I'm going to guess The Wire.
No, not even a good show.
Oh.
Not even a good show.
Not even a good show.
I'm going back to Blue Mountain State for God's sake.
Oh, no.
I might need to be canceled for watching it.
Oh, no.
I felt dirty watching the show, and I thought to myself while watching it, you know, as ashamed and embarrassed as I was watching it and also drinking and maybe doing some other things on the side. That's not the problem with the addiction, though. The addiction is the TV show binge watching, and I'm watching this show. I'm watching Blue Mountain State, the show that's not aged very well in the era of political correctness.
Oh, you don't think that people putting Oreos in their butt cheeks and walking down a field is going to go over
I
well
don't,
in 2024?
I don't. I
don't know. After the Tom Brady roast, stuff like that might be back in.
Or with John Cena at the Oscars, sure. But whatever the case, guys, I'm embarrassed. I'm humiliated. You know, I have to press the reset button. I'm back to one. And the Astros aren't helping me. You know, I'm trying to focus on sports. I'm trying to like sports again. I really am. I want to watch these games every night. I want to come in here every single day. I want to break down the game and be what you all need me to be or want me to be. I'm trying so damn hard. I don't know what to do anymore.
They're not good.
Do I have to go to a 12-step program for television binge watching and for video games? These aren't even cool things to go for.
I know, because you're low bar.
And it's because the Astros can't keep me engaged for four innings.
Blue Mountain State is so much better than the Astros right now from the text line. That sucks. Because Blue Mountain State's one of those like bad TV shows that you enjoy.
It's bad, but it's good, but it's still bad. And yet it's still.
But the Astros are not bad, but still good. They're just bad.
They're not like fun bad.
They're just bad.
Sad bad.
Yeah, like this isn't like the, you know, this isn't like you have a bunch of top prospects coming up and you're bad, but you have hype for the future. And this isn't Yordan Alvarez and he's 18. Because, I mean, he's only 100. In his last 100 at-bats, he's hitting 188. And he keeps rocketing baseballs off his legs, looking like he's going to die on the baseball field. That looked painful last night. Second time that's happened to him in a week, he's hurt himself from a foul ball.
Just sit him.
I mean, here's the thing, though.
For his own.
No, we're not doing the loser thing. We're not doing that.
No, I just mean so he doesn't get hurt. Just out of protective, putting himself in protective custody.
Honestly, I think he was being smart there. I think he realized the Astros needed a rally, so he delayed that as long as possible with a full count. And guess what? He got walked the very next pitch. The best was when he stepped back into the box and then he took a timeout. That honestly was my favorite moment of last night's game. And that's how sad it was, because guess who came up right afterwards and did absolutely nothing? Alex Bregman.
Well, it's all his fault, so.
I'm not going to say it's all his fault.
Well, Dana Brown did.
We will talk about what Dana Brown had to say later on in the show. But, I mean, the best moment of the night was Yordan Alvarez milking an injury like he was James Harden to try and give the Astros an edge.
I thought his leg was going to fall off.
I did, too. And then I thought that they might walk to the dugout and we'd get an update from Julio. Yep, Yordan's pinky finger hurt. Mm. Because it always feels like the Astros don't know where Alvarez is hurt. But
let's see. Infuentes says this is an 83-79 team at best.
Is it?
Oh, okay.
Is it at this point?
I don't feel that. I wish I felt that way. I wish I felt that good about this team.
I do too.
If they don't win the next two games, it's donezo, over. That's it.
We've already done the funeral. They don't even. This is the dangerous territory they're in right now. They're still keeping some people on because they're angry. And I think some people are also still going through the stages of grief, if you will. But they're not even in the bargaining. Everyone, I think, is still.
Oh, bargaining, though, I don't know. If you look at Astros Twitter, I know it's toxic. I know you're telling me to get off of it. But the pathetic garbage that I have seen over the last 24 hours in which it's Martin Maldonado. He's the one that would have saved this team. He's available for a bag of trash if you wanted him. You could trade Forrest Whitley for Martin Maldonado to the White Sox right now. He's not even the starting catcher there. Corey Lee is. Like, Victor Caratini, to those people's point, has now caught every Fromber start except for one. He now caught JV, so maybe they don't believe in Yiner Diaz. Maybe Dusty Baker was right. But if you wanted Martin Maldonado back so bad, you could have him. The White Sox don't want him. So, like, if he's your problem solver, go get him. But he's not. Because everything about this team is wrong. You have a solid start that could have been a disaster from Hunter Brown on Sunday. They salvage it. It's your bullpen that blows the game. Your offense comes back. Justin Verlander, who was very good in his first start. What did he tell everyone? Get your heads out of your asses. Well, his is way up his after last night's start. He was awful. Like, this team is not good, because when something goes well, something else goes terribly wrong, whether it's the lineup or Joe Espada's decision making or Dana Brown just running his mouth about nonsense. Like, everything that can go wrong has go wrong, And I give credit to people like Fuentes who think they're going to win 83 games, because you must be the most optimistic person on the planet.
I don't know.
I don't see it at all anymore.
What's worse, Joe, the Astros being 5-11 against the Mariners since beating them in that extra competitive ALDS, or the Yankees being 8-0 against the Astros in their last 8 games?
The Yankees, because what you said yesterday, not enough people heard you. The amount of people yesterday that, while the Astros were getting their ass kicked, were tweeting about things that happened 5 years ago is pathetic.
It is Yankee fan behavior. Look, they are kicking the Astros' ass this season. And I know we all want to believe that this is all going to figure itself out. But we're getting closer and closer to the point to what you said, Joe. I don't know if it's 2 games away or what. We're all going to have to accept that this year is a lost cause. And when you have that just brutally honest revelation happen to you, you're going to start wondering about the people who are actually running things. And if you trust them to put this team back in a position where we're not feeling like this again. And this happens to every great sports run.
100%.
We're seeing it with the Patriots. It's been 5 years. But you never...
the Warriors.
You want to... Exactly. You're right. You want to delay it as long as you possibly can. And I don't know how much longer we can delay. And that is really depressing. And it's hard to watch this too, because as you said, it feels like whenever there's something good, something bad happens. And you can say it's bad luck if you want, but I think we're at enough of a sample size right now where the execution top to bottom is lacking. What is the reason? Some people are saying Maldonado. That's crazy. But the
leadership.
The problem is it's not entirely dismissible.
Same thing
with Espada instead of Dusty Baker. That being a problem, you want to say that's not the biggest issue here, but you can't 100% dismiss it. Every single factor that is being thrown out there is a reason for why this team is struggling. In my opinion right now, it's totally valid.
That I agree with. It's just it's not one issue. It is a collective of issues. Like I've seen, you know, Jeremy Booth, and he was on with us, and I've been seeing him tweet about this a lot lately. This is the fact that when you do look at the Astros organizationally, you know, since 2017, have not had a high hit rate of prospects. They have good prospects. They have players that have come up, guys they've signed specifically internationally that have been done very well, but they don't have what the Dodgers have, what the Yankees have. They don't have guys coming. That even goes back to before they had draft picks stripped away from them. They've failed in the draft organizationally. They've made decisions in which are questionable, starting back to 2020. When you look at this organization, they're the only organization of the Red Sox, Yankees, and Astros that made the decision to not, you know, stick to their guns, whether they were forced to by baseball or not, and they got rid of AJ and Jeff Luno in that moment. The Red Sox didn't do that. The Mets did with Carlos Beltran. That doesn't count. The Yankees kept all their guys. Then they fired James Click. They brought in Dusty Baker, which worked well, but he didn't work with the front office. And then when they fired James Click, the organization and Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell played fantasy GM for a couple months and brought in a bunch of awful signings. So a lot of this is past decisions is all kind of hitting you all at once. It's a lack of development in your catcher position. You know, if you can sell me that Martin Maldonado not being here is part of the problem. Well, then Yainer Diaz should not have been your solution if you now identify him as part of the problem. Was Corey Lee a better catcher? I don't know. But would Corey Lee have been better as the everyday catcher and Yainer Diaz at first base in the team? I don't know. But the decisions they've made have kind of all blown up in their face in one very specific season. And that's why this season has fallen apart in the way it has. Plus, they're old. JV looks old. Bregman, I don't know, man.
That was my biggest takeaway, is at least last night, everything felt old. Verlander specifically more than anybody else. But I think when I'm thinking about Verlander's struggles on the hill, I was also thinking about Bregman's struggles at the plate. How, look, he's not old, but how his game does not seem to be aging well, just given how his career stat line looks. I mean, his best season is 5 years ago. So you wonder how many of these guys are going to be able to stay the same. The craziest thing of all is, I mean, hey, at least with Jose Altuve, Altuve is playing great. Mm-hmm. Maybe not in this series thus far, but and then Kyle Tucker in right field, you're thinking to yourself, man, this might be the one guy who has the ability to stay at the same level that he's been at in the past with the way that he's opening up the year. And you're not even sure that this guy's going to be around long term, where guys like Christian Javier dealing with injuries, Yordan Alvarez, who has dealt with a lot of injuries and in a bit of a slump himself, those guys, you're wondering how well will they age? Will they age a la Lance McCullers?
Yeah.
Will they age a la some of the other guys, Ryan Presley, that you've locked up to long-term deals that have been here for a while? That's the worst part. Yeah, it feels like everything's old. Into what you were saying a moment ago, Joe, the reinforcements in the farm system, I mean, they're just not there right now. Joey Loperfido doing what he's doing is honestly like more than you would have honestly expected probably going into the year.
You've got more from these guys in moments.
And like, Singleton.
Yeah, I mean, like, the fact that John Singleton's your everyday first baseman is an incredible story, but it's also an indictment of the decisions that you've made. I mean, the biggest long-term hope that you can have for this franchise right now is that you are the 2023 Yankees. The 2023 Yankees didn't have a ton of injuries, but they had some, and they finished 82-80, and they missed the playoffs. And
they kept everything going. They kept Cashman. Yeah. They kept Boone, which was crazy. But they did something, Joe, that the Astros won't do. The Astros aren't going to sign a Juan Soto guy.
Now, the thing is like they traded for Juan Soto. He's not under contract with them for more than a year. So, like, could, in theory, the Houston Astros trade for a Juan Soto caliber player?
They're not going to do that, though, you know?
I mean, it's more about just like Yordan Alvarez is like, and Tucker and the guys you have next year, and you rebound in a big, big way in 2025, and you show up to back hopefully to who you were or who we thought you were, and this is really just a down year. Like, yeah, you might not be the team that continually goes to the ALCS, but you still have the pieces to be very good for the foreseeable, or to be good, not very good, to be good. And once you make the baseball playoffs, anything can happen. We all know it. We've seen it happen. We've seen not this year.
Yeah, we can't say.
I'm thinking about next year.
We can't say once. I am not talking any trash towards Yankees fans. I am not talking any trash towards Mariners fans. And I am not looking at the Astros right now as a playoff team. I don't even think that any of us can honestly say that until they're back above 500, because they're doing the same thing night in, night out. You know, it's always one of three things: no offense, bad first couple of innings from the starter, bad moments from the bullpen with a lead. Like, this is one of those three things is going to happen every single game. And if that keeps on happening, your record is going to stay where it is, which is 28th of 30 teams in baseball. 28th. 2-8.
You're last behind a team that doesn't have Shohei Ohtani anymore and now doesn't have Mike Trout in your division.
Yes. And the A's, who have a payroll that is the caliber of many places in our industry.
I think Josh Hader's total salary might be more than the A's payroll right now. Like, that's who they are. All right. Dana Brown's been making the rounds. He has takes. I think he blamed one person for this problems, whether he meant to or not. We'll get into that next on Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's Glant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So Dana Brown said that Christian Javier, or sorry, Joe Spada, says Christian Javier will return this weekend. Jose Urquidy threw a live bullpen yesterday. If he comes out of that okay, he'll start a rehab assignment himself this weekend. So if you're one of the few that thinks that, you know, those guys will save the Astros season somehow, well, they're close to being back. So maybe that'll help you.
You don't seem to believe, Joe.
Nope.
That's going to make that happen.
Because they're not going to fix the 7th, 8th, and 9th spots in the bullpen. Your middle relief's not the problem anymore. Like, that's what everyone thought it was going to be, and that's what people blame for a while. But Taylor Scott, Seth Martinez, Sean Dubin, these guys, Rafael Montero, they've done fine. They're not great. Like, but like they're not, you know, the bullpen that won the World Series, you know, a couple years ago, that were the best bullpen of all time. But they're good. They're good enough. It's 7, 8, 9 that are your problem. I don't even think at this point, you know, Stanek and those guys leaving is this end of the world decision for the Astros, because your middle relief's done enough. It's your starting pitching, to what you're saying, giving up 3 in the first or getting shelled in the first, even worse than that. And then your guys late, you know, not doing well, and your lineup doing nothing. Your middle relief has probably been like one of your more solid parts.
That is the weirdest development.
Like, they've been fine. And maybe they're not good, but like they seem
they're
better
not
than
the
ever.
Worst.
But they're not the worst part of the team anymore.
It's also the expectation game of it. You know, Ryan Pressly, Josh Hader were thought to be like this devastating 1-2 combination. It was supposed to be Dotel, Lidge, and Wagner, and it's like, nope. Actually, these guys are not just underperforming; they're bad. They're bad pitchers. Right?
You are in the nightmare that Aroldis Chapman wakes up from every single morning. And no, I'm not talking about the time he did that bad thing, probably should have been kicked out of baseball. I'm talking about the time that Jose Altuve took him yard and ended the 2019 ALCS. But you are trapped in a Groundhog Day version of that. You have the name, like Aroldis Chapman. Mm-hmm. You have the talent, like Aroldis Chapman supposedly did. And yet, every single time you go out there, you are just getting decimated. And you hope it gets better. You got to have heart. Miles and miles of heart. You got to believe, right? I guess.
I don't think the players believe anymore.
Aroldis Chapman has a much lower ERA than, not much lower, a full run lower ERA than Josh Hader right now.
Yep.
Pitching for the Pirates, I think it is.
Yeah.
Is that where he's at these days?
Holding down in Pittsburgh.
He'll get traded at the deadline. Probably still Ryan Pressly. Dana Brown was
speaking of trades.
Now, look, I don't think that this quote from Dana Brown yesterday when he was on MLB Network is, I don't think he's being honest, because Dana Brown does say a lot of things, and he has started to me be more honest and more forthright a little bit.
I don't know, man. He's so one way or another.
Yeah.
A week apart saying completely different things.
That's true.
That's
like
the
Jose
big problem
Abreu
with Dana Brown right now, as I'm sure you're about to outline.
Yeah, but he was asked yesterday about if they were going to sell at the deadline.
Yes.
And he said, this team's too good. I can't envision a world in which they sell. Now,
oh my God.
Now, most, I can't imagine like a GM. Now, the Marlins GM just did this, and they're in the same, they're not far from you at the bottom. The Marlins GM admitted that they're not going to make the playoffs, and that's why they traded Luis Arraez. Dana Brown, with the quality of players, with Jim Crane being focused on still putting butts in seats, which has been pointed out multiple times on text and Twitch. Minute Maid's going to turn into a ghost town here shortly.
Highway Cantina, though, right down the street.
Yeah, need some of those 975 marks. way better than going to a game.
The Astros are 2.5 games above the Marlins.
Yeah, so the Marlins are not going to make the playoffs, but the Astros are not going to sell, according to Dana Brown. I don't believe that. He is not going to publicly say they're going to sell, because they still have to lie to Jim Crane and say that the players are going to figure it out.
I'm glad you brought up Jim Crane. Don't you think it's interesting how quiet Jim Crane has been? Jim Crane has been rather outspoken as far as baseball owners go. When's the last time we heard from Jim Crane?
The last time we heard about Jim Crane was that he denied comment multiple times to the Athletic.
That's what I remember.
Yeah.
When's the last time we've heard Jim Crane give comments? I guess is it before the season?
Yeah.
Is it maybe opening day, like where they talk in the before the game with Chandler Rome and McTaggart and the scrum for like a couple questions?
Probably, but I think if you go back to some of the contracts that the Astros have given out, has Jim Crane been a major part of it? I feel like for the Josh Hader signing, there was no Jim Crane there, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was correct. At the podium, Hader, Dana Brown, GM, and Joe Espada, the manager.
Probably Joe Espada's press conference. That's probably when.
Because he's the introductory press conference with the new manager. How much did Jim Crane speak?
He's not there.
He's not.
I'm looking at the YouTube video right now. It's Dana Brown and Joe.
Was he at Dusty Baker's retirement that Chandler Rome forced him to retire?
Maybe. Maybe he was at that.
That was the blog boys, too. And the Twitter boys.
Chandler Rome and Twitter forced Dusty Baker to retire.
But yeah, I don't believe Dana Brown, obviously, when he says that. If you're this bad, you're going to sell at the deadline.
If Steve Cohen's going to sell with the amount he spent, I feel like Jim Crane with a lot less money to play with is also going to think, this is a loss right now. We need to make the asset build back up again.
To the extent that you sell is the bigger question that we'll have to entertain. I mean, and if you continue this path, there's no reason why Alex Bregman, Ryan Pressly, or Justin Verlander should be on this team. Justin Verlander will still be on this team because Jim Crane needs someone to golf with.
Alex Bregman will also still be on this team unless he starts hitting better. Yeah, that's the other what contending team is saying, we're a third baseman away, so let's go get Alex Bregman in a contract year who's hitting 198.
You need him to have, like, if he continues this way, you just need him to be awesome in July. Have a month where he hits like 350.
Just bounce back.
Right into the deadline. Prospects, here they come. Like, that's what I need from Alex Bregman right now. Have a good July. That's where we're at. Ryan Pressly, you have a good July too. And where you trade past that is up. It would be up for debate. I would offer Kyle Tucker a real contract for once and see what the agent's response is. And if you're not even close, I think you have to have some uncomfortable conversations about trading Kyle Tucker, but I would still try to keep him first.
Nothing should be off the table with where they are right now.
Yeah, besides probably Altuve.
Saying publicly that you're not going to do anything at the trade deadline, that you're not going to be a seller, is 100% fair to say, because you don't want the players to feel like they're not being believed in, but there's very little to believe in at this moment in time. And I think that just given how quickly Dana Brown has changed his tune on certain things, like, I don't know, Jose Abreu's bat speed being fine to Jose Abreu needing to work on the quick twitch muscles so that he can have better bat speed, literally a week apart, Brown will change his tune very quickly is something that we have learned and sometimes offers promises that are empty.
Well, I think what the next step is that Dana Brown will no longer do invited interview appearances like he did on the MLB Network. And because I experienced this when I was there with the Rockets, my guess is that, because we'll push soft boys back here a little bit, some of the quotes that we're going to read next from his weekly interviews, those will go away. They're contractual.
The weekly stuff I get is contractual.
Yeah.
I cannot believe he went on MLB Network.
Like, I can't either.
Yesterday, like, when was that scheduled? Was that scheduled after the Colorado series?
Like, stop talking. Like, stop talking to the media unless you contractually have to. And even then, you can get out of it.
Yeah. Like, I keep making this comparison to Rafael Stone. Never talked when the Rockets were bad. Never talked last year, really, when the Rockets were good. Like, he could have very easily done the like a pseudo victory lap of, look, we're competitive again. Like, the team is falling. The house is burning down around Dana Brown, and he's still talking.
You know why?
Twice a week.
Because Rafael Stone doesn't want to go on the radio and be asked if they're going to trade Jalen Green for Miles Bridges.
Yeah.
Because, or Mikal Bridges, whichever Bridges it is.
Either one would have been nice, but Miles is the one with the dubious path.
Okay, so Mikal is who we're looking for. But like that's why he doesn't do interviews. Dana Brown, like, just, you know what? Please don't stop. because we gotta find something to
this
talk
is,
about.
This is it's more interesting to talk about the big picture stuff than it is what happens on the field. Because it's like, oh yeah, the you know all the players that have been good since 2017, and some of them more recently than that, they stink now. Like there you go. That just Verlander. He's old. He got too old in a snap of the finger.
This is the tricky spot that you're finding yourself in, where I think all of us would like a little bit of transparency. Maybe we want that transparency from Jim Crane, but clearly not getting it. We liked that we were getting it from Dana Brown at first, the transparency, though some skeptics, cynics, me, thought right away when we heard Dana Brown for the first time, man, he is saying an awful lot. Do you want full transparency from your organization when it's going through times like this, or would you prefer them shut up and keep their head down? And I think ultimately we all would rather have the latter, because guess what? When you make yourself available, if you're Jim Crane or if you're Dana Brown, if you're making yourself available, there is zero victory for you talking about how things are bad, because either you're going to admit that things are bad and people are going to stop caring, or you're going to deny that things are bad. And in denying that things are bad, people are going to stop believing in you.
Yeah. Well, according to Dana Brown, one player needs to get hot. And if that player turns it around, the lineup will roll. Who is it? That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN. 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So Dana Brown said today in his interview on the flagship, where he was asked about Alex Bregman, and he said about Alex, he said, he needs to get hot. He's our veteran. This team will roll when Bregman rolls. He will get hot, mark my word. I'll mark that.
Please stop asking us to mark your words. We're really marking a lot of words.
Yeah.
We've probably got several paragraphs, if not a page.
He said he's an important piece and he needs to get hot. He does team building for us in the clubhouse. That's the guy.
He is such a politician.
Alex Bregman has been awful, but the idea that like one player is going to fix all these problems. Now, we know, like we've all seen it with our eyeballs, that he keeps coming up with runners in scoring position and hitting these lazy pop-ups that are just doing nothing for you. They're not even competitive. There's not even a chance for players to make errors and you get lucky and get some runs. They are lazy pop-ups, barely leaving the infield, or they're just in foul territory. Like he has been a disaster. In all accounts, Dana Brown was asked about like if it's the contract, and he said he doesn't think so. I don't know if it's the contract. Before the season, we talked about this. I said my guess would be I thought Bregman was going to be the exact opposite of this year.
I did too.
He was going to crush it and then get a $30 million contract. He'll be lucky to get a $20 million contract for a year.
He's looking at a 1-year contract right now.
Yes.
And you're hoping, if you're Alex Bregman, that a new start is going to be the jolt of whatever it is that you need in your arm to be the guy that you used to be. It's really at a point right now, though, where you're not expecting it to happen here. I know there's a lot of season left, but this is the worst. I mean, this is like the worst slump of his career since he joined the majors and he was a rookie. It's excusable when you're a rookie in 2016, but when you're here, and it's this bad. What's the, I guess, glimmer of hope that it's going to be better for him at any point this year, not just weeks, months from now?
Yeah, I mean, even like Dana, Dana Brown's trying to push this idea that these players have been here before. He said that this morning as well, that they've slumped before.
They haven't been here before.
They've never
losing.
Yeah. They've had slumps. They've had team slumps. They've lost to the, you know, when they're going to the World Series, they've been swept by the Orioles and swept by the Royals and the A's and the worst teams in baseball. That stuff was fluky. it felt like those seasons, because then they would dominate the best teams in baseball. And yeah, they would just, like, they'd make life a little more difficult by losing to bad teams. Well, they are the bad team now. They haven't been the bad team since like 2014.
Are they the bad team though? I mean, did you see the grade that Dana Brown gave the Astros when he was on the flagship this morning? Dana Brown, get this, gave your Houston Astros, who have one of the worst records in all of baseball, Dana Brown, I guess, had some sort of curve and gave the Astros, who I just want to keep emphasizing, mm-hmm. are 12-23, the second worst team in the American League, the fourth worst team in all of baseball. He gave them a C-. The team that has been to seven straight ALCS is getting a C-. I mean, tell us you're a substitute teacher, Dana Brown, without telling us you're a substitute teacher. And he is. He's not Jeff Luhnow. He's not even James Click. C-minus is such a middle finger to everyone that has been watching the team to this point this year. It is the kind of stuff that a politician doesn't say in a democracy like the United States of America. I guess it's a republic. That's what you hear in banana republics. This is what you hear from dictators who are trying to barely cling on to any small sliver of power that they might have. This is, spoiler alert for those who haven't seen the movie, this is Nick Offerman's president character in the movie Civil War, locked up, barricaded in the White House at the very end, waiting for people to break it down and overthrow him and then kill him. That's where we're at with Dana Brown. Yes, some of the comparisons at the very end, perhaps a little melodramatic, perhaps a little hyperbolistic, but a C-minus for a team that is 12-23, blowing saves left and right, getting lots of underachieving high-paid players in their lineup, is a C-minus, which is a slightly less than satisfactory grade. That,
I mean, you're still eligible to play like high school football if you have a C-minus.
You're right, Joe. C-minus is insane. Insane.
Yeah.
Even a D, I would at least hear, but it's an F-. I mean, he might be getting expelled for this kind of a start to the school year.
Yeah, this is...
Or starting the year over at the very least.
You have like four A's on your roster. You have Ronald Blanco, he gets an A. Jose Altuve, he gets an A. Kyle Tucker gets an A. Look at Jeremy Peña, an A. It's four A's. Everyone else is at best, a B-. And if they're not a B-, they're probably an F player right now. It is a collective F. This is below standard. And that's why, and maybe that's like his nice way to say it. Like it kind of feels like him giving the Astros a C-minus is like NFL.com giving the Falcons a C-minus or drafting Michael Penix in the first round. They don't really mean it, but they don't want to crucify one of their own franchises. Like, that's what this is. It is a, because he's wrong, and he knows he's wrong, and he's just saying it, and he has to do interviews, and he doesn't want to go scorched earth. But the players know, too. Like, the players don't need babying. They all know. They all know what's going on. Alex Bregman is totally aware that he's awful. Justin Verlander said it yesterday after the game, that he knows it wasn't good enough and he has to fix it. They all know. Josh Hader knows. The problem is that they know they also don't have an answer right now. That's the problem. This isn't...
There's no answer.
Like,
there's no answer coming and there is no answer to be had.
Because there's still no logic, in my opinion, of what's happening. Like, you still look at their roster, you look at the lineup that goes out there, you look at who's available out of the bullpen on any day, and you're like, okay, it's a good baseball team.
Yep.
But it's just not. So, like, that's why, like, I don't know how you know the answer to something that seems illogical.
All I know is that they are not a C-. That's all I know.
Yeah. I wish I had Dana Brown as a teacher growing up. I got straight A's.
I'm pretty sure Dana Brown is thankful that he is his own teacher here, giving him the C-minus, because D's do get degrees. Well, I found that out in communications law at Syracuse University. The only time that I've ever gotten below a B in my life, communications law. I got a D because I had the worst grade in the class on the first exam of the year because I didn't show up for any of the classes.
Yeah, I would assume that Jim Crane's giving this team an F.
Yep.
Big time F.
Yep.
To the question where, like, I didn't want to entertain the idea of, like, will heads roll after this season? I'm starting to wonder. I'm starting to wonder, like, what the Jim Crane reaction to this is going to be. If he's, like, not speaking because he's stewing with anger. Well, that's what I like to pretend is happening, at least.
Any head that rolls would be performative. Jim Crane's not cutting off his own head and putting it on a pike.
Touche. Good point.
And it feels like that group that is making the decisions behind the scenes, they're going to be the exact same group next year.
Not going to fire Reggie Jackson from being his friend?
Right. I don't think that there's going to be any breakups between Jim Crane and the Hall of Fame Letterman Jacket boys. Mm. Biggio, Bagwell, Mr. October, and Jim Crane in his Missouri State Letterman Jacket. They're all sitting there together, smoking cigars, trying to figure out what's up, but they know it's not anything they're doing. It's Dana Brown. It's Joe Espada. It's Alex Bregman, not a Hall of Famer like us.
Yeah, they're looking at the standings and or the MVP ballot from 2019 saying, who can we add from 5 years ago?
Who can they add from 5 years
ago? They got the MVP from 5 years ago, so...
Yeah, but they need another one.
The runner-up? Wasn't that Anderson. Alex Bregman?
Yeah, where's Tim Anderson?
Tim Anderson. He's in Miami. He's their starting shortstop. All right.
They're sellers, not like us.
Yeah, good point.
They're a trash franchise. We're way better than them.
We'll continue this a little bit. Plus, we got to revisit one of the things we touched on yesterday, because it's not getting a lot of attention, and I think most in the room... or most on the show, believe it deserves a little bit more. We'll do that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before that, we'll tell you about my friends at O Athletic, 767 North Shepherd, oathletic.com. Over 100 classes per week, starting in the mornings. They take a pause during the day, start back up around 4:30. You can get a workout any way that you want. You can have a personal trainer. You can do it yourself. So whether you want to gain or lose weight, gain muscle mass, lean out, O Athletic is absolutely the place for you. It's where I go to lose weight. We've lost 8 pounds so far in about 6 weeks. So we're on our way to losing more weight in 2024. And it's not just about weight too. Like that's one of the great things about O Athletic is they help you learn really what's going on in your body. So like where your fat is at and what you need to lose. So I highly recommend O Athletic. I'll be there tomorrow morning. So if you want to sign up, hey, we'll hang out 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. O Athletic. I'll see you there. O Athletic. Tell them Joe George sent you by.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So much negativity. The Twitch doesn't like it. It's so funny. I love you guys. You're my favorite people on planet Earth, Twitchers.
Really? You have a wife and a small child, Joe.
You are like my...
You have me. You have Sean.
You are in my top 100 of favorite people.
I am?
No, the Twitchers.
Oh.
You're at least in my top 15.
That, you know what? Thank you, Joe. That made my day.
Am I in your top 15? No.
Probably not. No.
Don't even have to answer.
Probably not.
Of course, Sean.
Joe?
I know you love me.
Okay.
Because I'm your boss.
I have to put you. It's like the college football playoff committee. Like, yeah. You're an SEC team. You
get that boss bump.
I'll say this. If tomorrow I meet the one and I just drop to a knee and propose, I'd think about inviting you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I'd think about it.
Thank you. It depends how big of a...
depends on how
big of a ceremony
it depends
you want.
On how whipped I am and how many friends... I'm going to tell you, to bring.
When you don't invite people you work with to your wedding, it does cause problems.
I know.
I've been there, done that.
I'm already stressed about it. Like, for me, I, as someone who's been to a ton of weddings, this is not a humble brag. This is more like I totally get how stressful it is for the people that the are organizing it. But yeah,
it was the worst. It was the worst thing I've ever done.
I think the move is to be like, it's going to be super small, so don't get offended.
Or to just elope.
We had 250 people at our wedding.
Seems like a lot.
Damn, dude, that's a ton.
Our original list that we made was 400 people.
Oh my God.
We cut down to 250.
Damn.
There was so many people at our wedding. Wow.
Do you have like a ton of brothers and sisters or something? Nope. Like what happened?
It's like a lot of us, like, she has a huge family.
Okay.
She has a massive family.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't really. But I had like high school friends. I went to two different colleges. I was in a fraternity and a rugby team at one of those colleges.
Ooh, humble brag.
And then it's like, I guess.
We can't go a day without one of the jocks.
I moved to Houston. So
I had a Letterman hoodie for my frat because I was on the rugby team too. I'm just kidding. I'm basically me.
I worked at every single radio station in this city at that point. So like, I literally had worked at
too many coworkers to invite.
610 and 790.
Too many coworkers to invite. It's not fair.
Yeah, so like there were so many people to invite.
Yeah,
but some people didn't go.
Paul, if you ever get married. I'm not saying don't invite me, but if I'm like cut, I just know I'm an easy cut. You want to hurt feelings by cutting me.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'll make it easy for you.
Same way for both of you guys.
I feel like Sean's the one, like, you invite him to your wedding and you have him be like the you know how like they have like adults do the flower boy thing, but they hand out beers as they walk down
the aisle.
Dude. Like that should be Sean.
I'd have kids do that.
Sean and I will walk down the aisle and just toss people beers.
Yeah.
We'll toss people bottles of Pendleton whiskey. Just be like
little like so, airplane
like,
glass,
like little know. Bottles. Be like, all right, guys, we got a long ceremony here.
Listen, I love Pendleton whiskey, but I mean, if you're handing out Pendleton whiskey to a bunch of Irish people before a wedding, I don't know, that could be a little bit dangerous.
It was like Paul's wedding's gonna be rowdy.
Yeah, I think it will be. It better be.
It'll be a good time.
Might end the marriage, to be perfectly honest. Hey, to bring it back to
won't be the shortest marriage ever.
Well, hey, you know our beloved Houston Astros are struggling, but there was something that we touched on yesterday, Joe, for just a moment, and I wanted to get some actual clarification on who asked this question, but there's a back and forth between Houston Texans owner Cal McNair, his wife Hannah McNair, and Will Kunkel of Fox 26 when it came to Tank Dell's status going forward. If you missed it, here it is again.
When you use more of the time, when you do talk to him, what do you say to him? How do you convey your love for him as well as concern? And you want him to learn.
That's kind of between us and Tank, just what we talked about with him. You know, that's a hard situation to be in, so those are kind of right.
What do you want him to learn in a situation like that?
Again, I think that's stuff we just talk about privately. And, you know, in any situation in life, you're going to learn something.
So the more I've thought about this, I thought it was interesting that, like, because you think that it should be getting a little more attention.
I'm surprised that no one has publicly pushed back on Will's question.
I think it's Hannah's media. Response.
Hannah's response does it, but I think that, and look, I don't know Will personally. I've talked to him a couple of times though, and hey, got no issue with him, but. The first question that was asked there's an implication that Tank Dell needs to learn a lesson.
Yeah, that he put himself in the situation.
Especially considering he followed up asking the same question twice.
Yeah, that I thought was weird.
I thought it was a bad look. I look, these private conversations that ownership has with an employee, is everybody entitled to know what that conversation was? And also, in asking a question like that, you are implying that Tank Dell was at fault for being in that spot. You just are. Even if you're doing it unintentionally, you are implying that. And the way that I heard that question in the moment yesterday, not even expecting it to, was Will Kunkel was basically asking the Texans if they were grounding Tank Dell.
Yeah, it definitely has a negative connotation to it. Like, so what you said, if he intended to ask it that way or not is hard to tell. I think the follow-up makes it a little more clear that he was expecting to get it. He wanted an answer that he didn't get, and that's why he followed up with the exact same question. But I think because Hannah, more like the way she handled it, just really shutting it down, is why it hasn't gotten more attention.
She did a great job of handling that. She did not get mad. She just said, that's between us.
It's a bigger story if she gives a different reaction.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's one where people would start circling the Texans ownership group as they have in the past and said, like, here they are saying problematic things again.
Yeah.
That's one of those loaded questions. And look, people that are in our shoes from time to time, they have to ask questions like that. But I don't think that was a question that had to be asked unless you know something about that situation that proves that Dell perhaps needs to have a sit down with Texans ownership or somebody else to keep himself out of those situations. But if you don't have that, and if you're not coming to the table with that on your next television broadcast or something like that,
yeah,
I don't think you should ask it. And I do think that for some, you hear that question asked, and you probably have a gut feeling as to why that question was asked. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. Again, I don't know, Will. I truly don't. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on in his head when he's asking it. I do know, though, he was looking for an answer that was different than the one that he got right there.
Yeah, I am surprised that this doesn't have more traction to it, specifically because, like, we've seen the way that media members in this city react to things like this, specifically like the ones that cover the Rockets. Like, I think you look at what happened with the Alperen Şengün thing that happened, like, with us, like, the way people were, like, what they wanted out of it, the way that people would ask questions of Deshaun Watson in the past, that, like, typically you would see media members make a big deal about questions like this. So I'm a little surprised that there's not more implication to this. We'll continue this on the other side because we got to take a break. But because there's more to get into. Plus, we've got other people taking shots at the Houston Texans. That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.